I'd like to read from the second book of Chronicles and chapter 2. Second book of Chronicles and chapter 2. The subject of this great chapter is the building of the house, David's exercise in relation to this, and now it has become Solomon's actual service. Second Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 1, and Solomon determined to build an house for the name of the Lord, and an house for his kingdom. Verse 5, and the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build him an house, seeing the heaven, and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him an house, save only to burn incense or sacrifice before him? Send me now therefore a man, or now therefore send me a man cunning to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in iron, and in purple, and crimson, and blue, and that can skill to grave with the cunning men that are with me in Judah, and in Jerusalem, whom David my father did provide. Now verse 13. And now I have sent a cunning man endued with understanding of Hiram my father, the son of a woman of the daughters of Dan, and his father was a man of Tyre, skillful to work in gold, and so on. I would trust the Lord will bless this reading of his holy word. As an exercise in my report tonight to offer a challenge to the many that are before me in the meeting in relation to the great need that faces us in the work of God. I'm putting it in a capsule form. The need is expressed in these lovely words, the words of Solomon, sent me a man. I would like to think that this, the word of God, would reach into the heart of every exercised soul in the meeting tonight, that you might qualify to be the kind of man God would send, that the work of God needs, that the building of the house of God requires, wherever the testimony is to be established. The man that answered the request of Solomon was possibly an unlikely person, but nevertheless, he was sent. You can see that as far as his mother was concerned, she was an Israelite. As far as his father was concerned, he was a Gentile. In other words, we're looking at an Old Testament Timothy. And I would think, if you put what Solomon expected and requested, relative to this man and what this man could do, you would see a very, very real likeness between him and the Timothy to whom the apostle wrote concerning the house of God. I wouldn't have time tonight, nor would I take the opportunity to outline the things in which this man had skill. But it indicates experience. It indicates expertise. It indicates exercise. And if we were to take them up in their typical value, you will see there was to this man's hand all that is essential in the spiritual sense for the establishment of the work of God in any land. And as I have moved through many places, I feel that this is the greatest need for men to be sent of God that know from experience what it is to build the house for God. Many are interested in extending the influence of sectarianism on the various mission forms that finds no authority in the Word of God. When we went to Malaysia, we didn't go with anything of that nature in our souls at all. We believe that the assembly is distinct from all that, and thus the ministry of 1 Timothy comes very much to mind as I look upon these Old Testament pictures. Send me a man. I would like to think, young man, in the meeting tonight, God would speak to you through this word. For in many areas, at this moment of time, there is a need for men like you. Men that have a skill, a spiritual skill, a developed spiritual ability, in those things that relate to the person and the work of our Lord Jesus, that bring out all the principles that are essential and that are truly embedded in the Word of God. This is what is needed, and this is the utmost exercise I would have for you today. The only time that I've ever read this passage before was many years in Australia in a conference at Sydney. It was in the course of the ministry that, as I've suggested, I drew a parallel between this man in 2 Chronicles 2 with Timothy of the first and second epistle of Paul to him. A few months after that, I received a very encouraging letter. A young man who had but recently received his doctorate in engineering put it all on the altar for God and felt that the words we had read that day were the words of God to his soul, and that young man is now serving the Lord very effectively in the work of the Lord in Australia. And our young brother Les Hill is to be commended because he set aside a very lucrative career and moved out in total dependence upon God to move in a land where he has been born and brought up that is hostile to the gospel and is calculated to be one of the most pagan countries in the world. The United Nations statistics prove that Australia is one of the most pagan countries in the world. Now, I want to mention that because I'm exercised that as we speak of the lands we represent, you might realize your responsibility and take it to your heart. For I remember in my own experience, in a vast concourse of people many years ago, listening to a brother minister the Word of God and quote three passages of the New Testament, and especially John chapter 10, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must raise." And those words, dear saint of God, lit my heart. And I felt that I responded to the words ministered that evening. And in the secret of my experience in that vast audience, I humbly, privately, silently responded to the call of God through those words. And it's possible that in a meeting such as this, there could be one, there could be more, who would hear the voice of God and would bend the heart and bow the soul in the presence of God and say from their hearts, "By the grace of God, I would wish to be that man." The man that God would send to build the house and to establish the testimony in land where it is greatly needed today. And so, as we have moved with the work of the Lord, how encouraging it is to serve with those that have been sent of God in this way. And I have mentioned to you already the very precious time that we had with our brother Jim Curry in Japan. There is no doubt in my soul that our brother answers to this kind of thing that's in this passage. His fidelity to the Word of God, his ability in the things of God, confirm beyond question that our brother responded to the voice of God, and so aided by the Spirit of God, he has surely fitted himself by the help of God to serve. It has been a joy to go to Japan and to see through a stranger's eyes, shall we say, the character of the work with its tremendous maturity, its evident growth, and its deep spirituality. The nine areas that we visited, of which I have told some of you, bespeak this right from the very first. I was tremendously impressed by the character of the work in Japan. And again, to see the growth, especially in the marked development of gift that the Spirit of God has raised amongst the Japanese assembly. It has been most remarkable to share fellowship, to come to know some of these men personally, and to appreciate just what God is doing in that land today. In Morioka, we have told you already, we were greatly encouraged by the presence of such a brother who came across the northern part of the land to be with us the short time we were with the saints in that assembly. Each morning we sat around the Word of God, and through Jim's expert knowledge, we were able to converse by interpretation. And thus, we were able to assess something of the deep spiritual breadth. We were able to assess something of the deep spiritual breadth this dear brother had in the things of God. Now, what I want to establish is this. I know that God is sovereign, and I would not seek to limit or even put a condition upon the servant of God. But young man, for you to go to Japan, you would need some real exercise. You would need to know some spiritual development, because you would be going into a land where there are many, many local brethren, definitely gifted, very clearly exercised, and therefore if you're going to be a contribution to the work, you would need, I would think, to fulfill something of what we have been reading. And I feel that if this report is going to do anything, it will bring you to work more at your Bible, to serve more in the gospel, to give more time to your soul preparation. I know that so many of you give time to physical exercise. I know the facilities are many in your country to be spending time on the slippery slopes of the snow. But mind you, that may develop agility in the body, but it will not help you to understand the ministry that is required for the building of the testimony. We need more than that. And we need young men that are going to sacrifice in the secret and be again like Gideon. Know something of the self-discipline of the winepress. Discomfort. And yet to have something for God. That's the most important thing. And this is what I feel is the burden of my soul tonight. I shared with Brother Jim, as he shared with me, his exercise relative to Japan. Let me tell you, Japan is one of the larger countries that is open to the gospel. Open to the gospel. And our brother Jim would long to see a young man of ability come to share in the work of the Lord with him. And yet he knows that if such a young man were to come at this moment of time, his own estimate was this. It would be 10 years before he could assume the necessary responsibility. Think of that. The This is the call tonight, dear saints of God. Brother Jim is not getting any younger. The two sisters that carry on the work in the printing and in the publication work are very aged. As he looks at that situation, he asks, what are we going to do? Where are we going to turn? And even he said again, let me repeat, if a person did come up, it would be so many years before they could effectively assume responsibility. So I trust I'm getting the message through to you tonight in response to the need. And then when we come to Hong Kong, thank God for men associated with the work in the colony that is shortly to come under the jurisdiction of Communist China and has only a few years left of what we would call democratic freedom. Remember Brother John Short in Hong Kong tonight. Remember his two fellow workers, Silas So and Jack Fung, two comparatively young men that have stepped out in faith upon God and are serving very efficiently in the work of the Lord in Hong Kong. In the two assemblies, one in Tsuen Wan and the other in Mong Gok. The scope open to those assemblies is immense. Literally millions of people in their locality. The district of Mong Gok is registered as being the most densely populated district in the world. If I understand it, in the area of Mong Gok, there are over 2 million people in one district. So that gives you some idea of the tremendous need of Hong Kong. But what are we doing about it? Here again is the call. Here again, the Spirit of God would raise to your view the need that faces the testimony in Hong Kong. I know it wouldn't be the most attractive place. Very, very difficult to live in Hong Kong, especially in obtaining proper dwelling. Any room that you might find would be very costly, very restricted, and not just as spacious as with which you would be accustomed. And yet these brethren are being quite prepared to serve in this way. And these are just simple things, but very, very real. Often I wonder how John has ever raised his family in the small space where he lives in Tsuen Wan. But God has been good. When men devote themselves to the work of God, God supplies their every need. And we just had a letter this week from our brother and sister, John and Karen, and their little boy, Samuel, in Cyprus, has expressed the desire to be baptized, independent of knowing that his younger brother, Benjamin, has expressed a like desire. So our brother and sister are comforted to see that God is working in their young family and creating spiritual desires even in view of all the restrictions through which they have been subject these years. I might say that John was very appreciative of the fact that evidently, as a result of my message to you in Victoria Drive, some of you must have written him, because he spoke of very, very high appreciation, and that's encouraging. I'm glad that you responded. I'm sure others will. And John is very encouraged by the response as a result of our simple report. And so, if you want his address, it's available. And I know others have gone beyond that as well. And the time is coming when John will see the fruit of what we have been seeking to express for the glory of God and for the good of the work with which he is associated. You will know that practically every month, I would say definitely every month, John goes into China. In his letter, he reported that three of the brethren had gone in loaded with clothing and literature and medicines as usual, and that he was going in the next week with two other brethren. And so it is a constant going in to the areas required and specified, carrying the kindness and the provision of God's people. It would be wonderful tonight if we could make an appeal for China. But the situation is difficult. John himself, as most of you would know, endeavored to come to live permanently in Beijing. Through a contact, he already had a house, a dwelling, which was remarkable, and he felt all the necessary official documents were through, and he was waiting on final word, because he felt it would be more appropriate to be living in China and to be more effective with a base inside the land. Unfortunately, in early 1989, the carpet, shall we say, or the mat was pulled from under his feet, and the whole thing subsided. Now, very likely God overruled in that, because that was shortly before the trouble in Tiananmen Square. And God knows what might have happened. But nevertheless, John is prepared, was prepared, to leave the comparative comfort of Hong Kong and go into Beijing and live there, that he might be directly in control of the work that he sees developing in these great areas of need. Now, there is a way into China, and that would be through employment. But who amongst us wants to go there? Are you the person that would be exercised to take your ability and place it in the hands of Christ to open an effectual door of utterance in China? That's the challenge. Because, as I've told you, the brethren, when they go into China, They cannot stay with local believers. They have to go and live in an expensive hotel. And often John thinks it would be wonderful if some businessman, some professional man could come to Beijing and open a home for the work of God in that large city. Here are areas that we think very little about, possibly. But it's not just the challenge of the hour. With all the facility open to you for the learning of the Chinese language, so many facilities in the city with that in view, is there not an exercise somewhere? Is there not a soul with a burden for over 1 billion people to reach them in some little way with the gospel? My dear saints of God, I do trust at least you will face the challenge and face the burden and ask yourself, would you be the man? I think this is a great need. I think it's a tremendous need. At the most, our brethren, as we did with them last year, can go for a short period of time and visit difficult, often dangerous areas in order to bring relief, in order to bring comfort to the beleaguered saints in that great land of need. I do trust you remember that. And I do trust you will still be exercised to respond to what I've told you earlier. The need is for heavy and good, useful winter clothing and all those other things that I mentioned. And already, I'm very encouraged by the exercise of several that have come back to me and expressed just how much they have been willing to accumulate for God in this respect. Now this will bring great blessing. This will bring great comfort as our brethren that serve in this way partake of your sacrificial response in the Lord. There is no need to delay. There is no need to worry. Our brethren have ample space to store whatever is sent, and quickly it will be dispersed throughout China. I have reminded the saints of the need, the desperate need of the believers. Remember, there is nowhere in China, nowhere, that any person has any form of heating in the home during the cold of winter. We were there at the close of winter in Shanghai, in Nanjing, in Zion, and in Canton. And as we visited the believers, we could see the depth of their clothing, heavy, hard clothing. Sometimes at least we could see 4 layers of clothing on the body. What was under that, I wouldn't know. Because they have absolutely no form of heating in their homes, and it was desperately cold. So now, it is by this these believers are assured of the love and the fellowship of saints they'll never meet until they see them in the glory. I make this appeal for the benefit of those that suffer for their faith. Now, in all the reports that I've given you, I have said nothing about Malaysia. In Victoria Drive, we spent the night on the work in China and Hong Kong. In Richmond, West Richmond, we devoted the time to the work in Japan, and it was a pleasure to praise our brethren and to place before you their needs. And I can make an appeal for Japan tonight that you be exercised to go. I can make an appeal tonight for Hong Kong that you be exercised to go. And I can do the same in that particular sense for China. But I'm very sorry that I cannot do the same for Malaysia. This has been one of my greatest, shall I say, difficulties, disappointments, frustration over these years. Malaysia has consistently closed the door to missionaries. By now, there would scarcely be a missionary, so-called, existent. As far as the assemblies are concerned, there could only be two left, if there be that. And I would be one of them. When I went to Malaysia, Malaya as it was then called in 1956, there would have been over 30 servants, 30 workers, serving in Malaya. Now over the years that has been reduced, step by step, and unfortunately, only augmented very temporarily, and that to be again frustrated by total embargo. We miss very much the presence and the help that was given to us by our brother, Mr. Jim Allen. He's only able to come to Malaysia now, of course, as a visitor, such as you would be free to do if you were thus exercised. And my brethren say to me sometimes, how is it that no one from America or Canada ever comes to Malaysia? I'm not going to tell you what they think about folks of this end of the world. I suppose their concept of an American is, as you know, on the travel brochure. They have never heard, they have never listened to some of the great brethren that you have on this side of the world. They have never been visited by anyone from these shores. No one has ever thought it worthwhile to come and see us in that land. But the Lord knows. So I'd like you to remember that the work in Malaysia has to be in this sense and in the sense that I am now describing. It has to be self-supporting. We cannot expect exterior or outside help, even to look at a person coming on a commercial basis or for private or whatever, what? That would be very exceptional now in the circumstances that mark Malaysia. You understand it is because Malaysia is an Islamic controlled country. And you have seen in recent times the character of Islam. You understand its tremendous opposition to the gospel. Very few would know that many, many years ago, Sabah, which was North Borneo, and Sarawak were completely cleared of missionaries. Those two new areas that were augmented to form Malaysia, one is East Malaysia, and we in the peninsula are West Malaysia. The Islamic government has a Muslimization program, and to inaugurate that, the first thing they did was to eliminate what they consider the front line, that is, all Christian missionaries were expurgated from those territories. Now, I'd like you to understand that. That is the situation. 20 years ago. Gradually, through very many means and ways, the missionary enterprise, that is, foreign missionary, has been eliminated right down to almost one or two at this point. Now that indicates the opposition of the Muslim government to the missionary, to the person that would come with the gospel. So therefore, I'm unable to make an appeal for Malaysia. I feel very sad about that. A lovely country. A country with a very demanding climate, no doubt. But with a lot of things that can balance the consistency of the heat. A land of great variety. We have three great forms of people. Malays, that in themselves as people are very attractive. Very colorful. Quite nice people. But remember, totally preserved. I have to use that word. Or if you like, protected from the gospel. I just had a phone call from Toronto the other day. And my heart was greatly encouraged. A young Malay girl, a student from Kuala Lumpur, has been gloriously saved in recent meetings. Well, that's going to cause a real problem. That young woman was very, very delighted to know that such as we live in the land, they want our address. They want to know where the meeting is, and I have to tell you that that will bring her and would bring us into great difficulty. But we just have to leave it with the Lord. And we do trust that dear young woman will be spared when she returns to all the hostility a Muslim household would do. We know from experience, many have been put to death. Most found it impossible to remain. and had to leave the country permanently. There is nothing as incisive. There is nothing so subtle, so severe as the opposition of Islam to the gospel. They are absolutely afraid of the slightest encroachment upon their territory. We'll pray for that young woman. That's very, very rare. And yet, of course, it has happened in the past. But with very, very grievous results. As I close, I'm thankful to say that the work we represent is able to function in assembly capacity. God has been good. We see young men, dear brethren, being raised up of God to further the testimony. We were encouraged tremendously in our recent conference. 8 Bible readings, 5 nights of ministry, and especially in our readings, just to see the marked ability that God is developing amongst us to carry on the work of the Lord. The Spirit of God is able to fit the assembly to meet any emergency and to maintain its testimony for God. And as I look at the assemblies we represent tonight, I'm deeply indebted, deeply grateful to the Lord for what He is doing, for what He is raising up in our midst. I must close. I just mentioned one young man in particular for the encouragement of my two brethren from Scotland. A few years ago, I was in an assembly conference on the east coast of Scotland. And after the meeting, the first meeting, some brethren introduced me to a young man from Malaysia. Now I was slightly embarrassed when I saw him. I don't think I ever saw a young man with so much hair in all my life. His hair was away below his shoulders, and it extended the breadth of his shoulders as well. And there he was sitting in the meeting. They told me he had just got saved. I had a word with the dear young man, encouraged him. He took the address of the assembly in the Talan Jaya. He was led to the Lord under the preaching of two very able Scots brethren, Brother Jack Hay and Brother John Campbell in Perth. He was doing an aircraft engineering course. He came to Malaysia after qualifying. He came to the assembly. He wasn't long in the company of the Lord's people until he visited the barber. That was the first day. And then he was baptized. And then he was received into the assembly. and at all this evening. I must confess, I don't know of a young man that touches my heart more when I hear him giving thanks to God for his son. There is no comparison with what I saw that day, the first time I met him, and what Seville is tonight. If Brother Seville were invited to stand where I'm standing tonight, he would grace this platform with spiritual excellence, with spiritual maturity. He's longing someday to go back to the place where he trusted the Lord Jesus. Then the brethren that led him to Christ in those days, if ever they do, when they see him now, they'll scarcely believe it's the same person. We thank God for that. And I'd like to think that Brother Seville, with his lovely young wife, we're living in our house at this moment of time, will ultimately take his place in the work of the Lord. The Lord bless you. God is there. Our God, we thank thee for the appeal in the gospel. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. How timely. I'll tell it. It would be a meeting for eternity of some soul tonight to trust the Savior. And like the impossible Bartimaeus and the improbable Zacchaeus, find him, trust him, and know him as their Savior. Lord, fulfill our exercise and save in this meeting tonight. Then what shall we say about the great need of the world around us, in the lands that we have mentioned? Millions without Christ. O God, our Father, look down upon this audience of people tonight, so privileged, so favored. And grant that if it be not China, Hong Kong, or Japan, it will be some other needy earth, that faithful hearts will respond tonight and say, by the grace of God, I will be that man. Lord, grant us this blessing, we pray. Thinking of young men, especially, with tremendous ability, with evident gift, and younger men with a searching desire for what is right and what is proper in their life, and young women too. Lord, give direction to them. Give definiteness to thy word in their hearts, that the call of the gospel may be received, and the call of service may be received, that they may say, Lord, here am I, send me. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus.